Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. The podcast is finally back. I flew home the other day from Panama City Beach, where I was staying for a couple months on a work trip there, so I'm finally back home. Podcast is all up and going again, so it is finally back after about a 3-week hiatus there. I do apologize about that. I know I kind of disappointed some of you guys, didn't have any coming out, but the podcast is now back, as we do now have Blackhawks playoff hockey. As always, I'm your host, Jake Golden, here. Before I get into everything we're going to get into, which is going to be a lot on this episode, I want to make sure you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. We have the Instagram account at chitownhockey.pod. We have the Twitter account, chitownpod. We have my Blackhawks-related Instagram account, at Blackhawks Topic. We have my personal Twitter account, JakeGolden777. And, of course, we have the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. So, first I want to get into recapping Game 3 from last night of when I'm recording this. When this releases in the morning, this will be game day. It'll be game 4. Blackhawks have the Oilers on the brink of elimination. But I'm going to go ahead and get into game 3 a little bit. I want to talk about some of the things that I saw in game 3. Game 3, you could see a big difference from game 2 in the aspect of team game communication and really just the overall want in the players. You look at guys like Jonathan Toews. Jonathan Toews has kind of now taken over the driver's seat, per se, really just producing in the playoffs. He's really back to the playoff Jonathan Toews of the dynasty era, and you can see that in how he is producing. He had 2 goals the other night in Game 3. He had a couple goals in the series, first 2 games, a couple assists. So Jonathan Toews is really getting back into form, he was when the Blackhawks were the dynasty era, and Jonathan Toews really was able to excel offensively like he did in the dynasty era. In the recent years, he's kind of had to drop back and kind of like help out on defense a little bit, but you can see Jonathan Toews, the defense is now improved, and now that there's also a Kirby Dach there, he's able to kind of step up into the offensive role more, and you can see it's really paying off for him and for the Blackhawks, because Jonathan Toews is producing. Jonathan Toews is a leader. Jonathan Toews is a Blackhawks superstar. He's an NHL superstar. He's looked up to by a ton of players, so when Jonathan Toews is going, when Patrick Kane is going, when Corey Crawford is going, you can tell that's when the Blackhawks themselves are going. So to have Jonathan Toews going right now is a big, big thing for the Blackhawks. Gives the team confidence, him producing. Big, big thing for the Blackhawks. Helping the Blackhawks out a lot. Jonathan Toews has contributed a lot to the Blackhawks' success. If you take Jonathan Toews and what he contributed out of the 3 games so far in this best of 5 series, I can almost guarantee you that the Blackhawks will have won only 1 game or 0 games. That's how much Jonathan Toews has really helped out this team and has really started to produce up there in his center line position. Patrick Kane, I mentioned him a little bit ago. Patrick Kane is kind of non-existent in this series, really. He's gotten a couple assists. I don't think he has a goal yet this series. So Patrick Kane, not really playing up to the standards that we're used to seeing from Patrick Kane. A couple assists, so he's got a couple points. He's at least producing a little bit. He's got maybe 4 assists, I believe, in this series, 3-4 assists. But he's not producing goal-wise that I think we're used to seeing from Patrick Kane. I think maybe he's trying to pass the puck a little more. We've had a lot of power plays that we haven't had success on, which I'll get into in a little bit. But Patrick Kane's a big part of that power play, and Patrick Kane is not scoring on that power play, and he really isn't scoring at all. So there's a little bit of concern there when you look at Patrick Kane, just to kind of wonder what could be going on, you know? What's going on with Patrick Kane? Because, especially in the playoffs, playoff-style Patrick Kane, this is something that we're not used to seeing. So, I'm trying to figure out, and I think what Blackhawks fans are trying to figure out is this going to be a long-term issue with Patrick Kane, or is this maybe just he's tried to pass the puck more? Is he trying to be a little more conservative with the puck? Is he trying to play more of a defensive role? Because we know he's kind of been bashed lately for not playing that big of a defensive role. Or is he really just trying to make smart plays away from the puck? So there could be a multitude of things going on with Patrick Kane at the moment that accounts for why he is not producing in the goal-scoring aspect of things. But obviously, 4 assists, 3 assists, whatever it is, I believe it's 4, but it might be 3. Those are still 3 goals that your team scored. So it's not that he's playing terrible, but we are not used to seeing Patrick Kane held off the goal sheet as he has been held off of the goal sheet lately. Kirby Dach has emerged as a bright young talent in just his first year in the NHL with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's making smart plays away from the puck. He's put on a couple pounds. He's learning to use that 6'2" body. You saw the hit on Tyler Ennis. Tyler Ennis, sadly, from the human aspect of things, he is sadly out for the remainder of the postseason. He either suffered an ankle injury, a fibula injury, and something else. Either one of three. If it's an ankle, it's minimum of 2 months. But if it's one of the other two that could have happened in the leg aspect of things, in the leg foot aspect of things, it could keep him out very long term into the off season and maybe even into next year. So that'll be something to watch. Is what is the impact of Tyler Ennis's absence on the Edmonton Oilers themselves in Game 4 as they're on the brink of elimination, and how it might help the Blackhawks? Because Tyler Ennis, while he's not on the score sheet a lot, Tyler Ennis is still a good player. He's a good playmaker. And he can score when he has the opportunity. Tyler Ennis had a goal the other night in Game 3 for the Oilers. So it's not that he can't score. So, obviously, when a player like Tyler Ennis is injured and he's out of the lineup for the opposing team, that obviously helps your team in the aspect of things that you don't have as many goals against. Maybe you have worser players in the Oilers lineup, easier to get around, etc. Just the kind of basics, the norm when it comes to players being out of the lineup. But anyway, back to Kirby Dach. So Kirby Dach, you can see his skating ability has gotten so much better. You can even see it in the training camp videos by Charlie Romeliotis, Ben Pope, Mark Lazarus, all the Blackhawks insiders on Twitter, just all their videos. You can just analyze Kirby Dach, and you can see just the way he's skating and the way he's pulling up to the goalie and the way he's stick handling around the goalie. You can see that there's a big improvement in Kirby Dach. And it was talked about on the Blackhawks Talk podcast the other day from NBC Sports Chicago with Pat Boyle and Jamal Mayers. Kirby Dach went up to Patrick Kane in the offseason, kind of. I guess you can call it offseason, or the pause. We'll call it the pause. So during the pause, Kirby Dach went up to Patrick Kane. He asked if it was okay, I guess you could say, okay, appropriate, whatever, if he could train with Patrick Kane's personal trainer, who has also trained some other NHL talents. And Patrick Kane, of course, being the class act that he is, Patrick Kane said it is okay for Kirby Dach to use his trainer. So Kirby Dach spent a week in Chicago with Patrick Kane's trainer. He worked on some stuff with him. He then flew back to Edmonton, which is where his hometown is, the trainer did it virtual with him. So you can see Kirby Dach has already taken that next step in being that NHL player and wanting it, and wanting to be better, and wanting to play better, and wanting to win and to help your team. Kirby Dach has emerged as a great player already. The impact he's made on these games so far You can see the kid has a really, really bright future in the NHL, and he's going to help the Blackhawks a lot, because one thing that was an issue with the Blackhawks, even in the Dynasty era, was that there was not a lot of center depth. So now that we have Kirby Dach, and we have Jonathan Toews, and even if you decide to re-sign Dylan Strome, who's looking to be a little bit of a cheaper cost, now that he hasn't really produced as much, he kind of helped out the Blackhawks a little bit in price range. You already have three solid centermen right there down the middle. And then, I mean, David Kampf, I mean, he's just kind of like one of those guys that's there. But, I mean, you still have a really solid just down the middle stretch of centers, just Toews, Dach, Strome, and then even Kampf, who at times can play good and can win faceoffs. So you have a really solid center core right there down the middle for the next couple of years if you're able to lock up Dylan Strome this year, as he will be an RFA at the end of these playoffs, or qualifying if we lose in the qualifiers. At the end of the season, whenever that's going to be, no one even knows anymore. But so you have a solid group of guys. Now, Dylan Strome, I'm not too impressed with him over the past couple of games. He's kind of been there. He hasn't really produced as much as I'd like to have seen from Dylan Strome. But I think if you give him a chance and you stick him on a line with Kane, and I'd probably take off Nylander. I don't think Nylander deserves to be on the line with Strome and Kane. I think if you took Nylander off that line, because Nylander just looks lost every single game, even playing with the best player in the world, or one of the best players in the world, and Patrick Kane, he just looks terribly lost. So if you maybe get a better player on that line, maybe even Dylan Sakura, because Dylan Sakura, he is a possession monster. Every single time he's on the ice, his line has the puck, and that's big. Possession is big in today's NHL. So, I mean, give Dylan Strome the right opportunity, and he can succeed. But I think right now, playing with Alex Nylander, him and Kane are just like, come on, dude. Like, You can just see that Nylander is lost every single game, and it's just absolutely ridiculous and horrifying to watch. Just turnovers and just never knowing where to go, always just seems he's always out of position, just stuff like that just shouldn't be happening in the NHL for as much money as some of these guys are paid. But overall, now that I'm out of my player assessments, overall, the Blackhawks have played a strong game the past two games in game 1 and 3. Obviously, I think the Blackhawks learned a little something about their start in game 2, so that's certainly good. But we're going to need to have the same mentality from game 1 and game 3 for, by the time you're hearing this, tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers, as we hold them against the brink of elimination. So it'll certainly be a fun game to watch, as we can expect both teams to come out kind of flying and wanting this series, because you want this series. This series is a big series to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, to see the first round of the playoffs, somewhere the Blackhawks haven't been in so long. So the players just need to want it, and you know what? If the Blackhawks want it, the Blackhawks can get there. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I will be back with you in 60 seconds or less. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Golden, back with you here. Before I get into some of the next stuff we're going to go ahead and talk about, I do want to make sure, again, you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. The Instagram at ChiTownHockey.pod, Twitter account ChiTownPod, my Blackhawks-related Instagram account at BlackhawksTopic. My Blackhawks-related Twitter account, at Blackhawks Topic, my personal Twitter account, at JakeGolden777, and, of course, the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. So make sure you go send in your listener questions. Those are always appreciated and will be answered on the show. Now, I want to get into some of the things from Game 2 that I saw, kind of on the negative side of things, and some of the things the Blackhawks did improve on. So, a couple things from Game 2, really, and Jeremy Colleton did point this out in the post-game interview, and even Jonathan Toews also pointed it out. The communication was not at the point where it needed to be, especially when you're playing a playoff game. You could see multiple times that there were just missed passes, people were out of position, Corey Crawford went to play the puck, players not covering in front of the net when Corey Crawford was out, going to retrieve the puck from Corey Crawford, players were not on McDavid, McDavid was in the slot, Draisaitl was just sitting there in the slot, a lot of goals came from just in front of the net. So there were a couple things that the Blackhawks did need to improve, and I feel like the Blackhawks did kind of pick it up in the third game more with the communication aspect and stuff like that and limiting shots on goal. Although it did come out pretty even in the second game, they did do a lot better job of it because in the third game they did a lot better job of it because in the second game it was really lopsided. I believe it was 36-25 in the shots on goal. So the Blackhawks did a lot better job in limiting shots on goal, but it really is making sure Draisaitl and McDavid are always covered, because if they're not covered, then it's going to be an issue. Those are the two of the greatest players in the NHL right now. So when those two are not covered, that is a big issue for the Blackhawks. It's going to present itself with goals against, chances against, us having to be, we're going to be in the defensive zone for an extended period of time. There are a multitude of things that go on when those two are left uncovered on the ice. It's a really big issue, and Jeremy Colleton needs to preach the fact that those two need to be taken care of, because if they're not taken care of and they're not covered and they don't got a man on them all of the time, then these next two games, the fifth game if necessary, are not going to go the Blackhawks' way. We are only one win away from clinching a playoff spot for the first time since 2017. And if the Blackhawks want it bad enough, we have to keep the approach and the mentality and the game plan and even the lineups that we had in Game 1 and 3, because they worked. Whatever happened in Game 2, whatever they changed up in Game 2 did not work. What they kept in 1 and 3 worked. You walk to the rink the same way, you get dressed the same way, you do the same stretches, do it all the same, because it worked. So keep that going, and you should be successful. But you can't just think that the Oilers are going to play the same way as they did in Game 1 and or Game 3. You have to always think that the Oilers are going to come out as the better team. And if you have that mentality and you try and outplay the Oilers being the better team, you try to outplay that mentality, then you're going to be a winning team. But you cannot underestimate the Oilers. You cannot say we're only one win away and half-ass this game. That's not how it's going to have to work. But we've seen, if the Blackhawks want it, there is a possibility that they can get it. We've seen it all season long, and we've now seen it in these playoffs. We lead 2-1, and the Oilers only have a 28% chance of now moving on. The Blackhawks are now at, I've got to do math here, 78%. So you can see, things have drastically changed. I picked Chicago to win the play-in series, and I got a lot of backlash for it, especially on my Instagram page. A lot of backlash for picking the Blackhawks to win the to win the play-in series. But I've watched this team all year long. If this team wants something, this team full of vets, and the emergence of Kirby Dach, that solid fourth line, the solid third line, if everyone can produce, and this defense can play like it's made to play, and they can buy into the Jeremy Colleton system, which is now evident that they pretty much have, you can see the penalty kill is picking off where it left off. If the Blackhawks want something, They can get it. They can win. The Blackhawks can win, but they have to want it, and they showed they wanted it. So them showing they wanted it, that makes me feel confident that my pick, I stand by my pick. Because I was getting a little bit, as we went into the play-in series, if my pick was for money, I might have even changed it to the Oilers. Because you know what? They were the favorite to win the series. They were the better team in the regular season. But you know what? The regular season does not matter when you are in the playoffs. In the playoffs, all bets are off. And a lot of people were undermining that, especially with this series, and especially when it came to the Rangers and the Hurricanes. All day long, you can tell me that the Rangers swept the Canes in the season series, but you know what? That does not matter in the playoffs. And the Canes proved that. The Hurricanes did prove that. They showed that that didn't matter, and they swept them. First team to advance. So, you know what? I stand by my pick. And I am proud of the team I am proud of the team we have become during the pause, buying into this system and changing our system and buying into it and just forming it and now playing as a team and communicating as a team. Lines and pairings all set. They know who they can play with, they know the guy they're playing with. This team has formed a bond while being in the bubble. The Blackhawks have a bright future, okay? And I'm going to say that with full-on confidence. We have a bright future. There have been emergences of a few players on this team. We have new signings coming in, including Evan Barrett, Ian Mitchell, Pius Suter, Dominic Kubalik, holy crap. I mean, set a record for most points in a playoff debut. That's absolutely ridiculous with 5 points. I mean, holy crap, this kid. So, Dominic Kubalik, Pius Suter, who Dominic Kubalik already knows, could be a good line mate there. He's a goal scorer. He can run the power play. A killer of a snapshot. He's gonna be an impact player, and he's looking to be in the NHL next year. Ian Mitchell, looking to be in the NHL next year. Evan Barrett, could be in the NHL next year. Lucas Carlson, looking a lot better on defense now after being in a few games and looking good. So you know what? This team has a bright future, and we still have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. We now have another Patrick Kane in Dominic Kubalik, sort of, in the stats aspect of things. 30 goals, about 30 goals. They're about the same. Kirby Dach looking like a prime Jonathan Toews, a better Jonathan Toews. There's an emergence in this team, and this team's looking a lot better. So this team has a bright future, and I will stand by this prediction, and you can quote me on this years from now. I say in the next 3 years, this team is a Stanley Cup contender again. This team is a Stanley Cup contender again in the next 3 years. Next three seasons. This upcoming season, the season after that, and then the season after that. By those three seasons, this team will be a Stanley Cup contender, and you can quote me on that. And that is the end of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Before I head out, I want to make sure you know how to get in contact with the podcast or ask any listener questions. Instagram account at Chi-Town Hockey Podcast or Chi-Town Hockey Pod. Chi-Town Hockey.pod. Okay. Twitter account, Chi-Town Pod. We have my Blackhawks related Instagram account at Blackhawks Topic. Twitter account, same username, Blackhawks Topic. My personal Twitter account, JGolden777. And of course, the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. Make sure to send in those listener questions. Always appreciated. They will be answered on the show. Please also make sure to leave me a 5-star review. A nice review. Those always help. Helping climb in the ratings, help me produce more content for you all, help me earn a little bit more money on here. So, that helps as I get more listeners and you give me nice reviews. But if there's something I'm doing that you guys dislike, please don't write a trashy review because I'm not going to listen to that. But constructive criticism is always appreciated because I want to give you guys the best Blackhawks content I can give you guys. So if you give me constructive criticism on what you'd like to see, I have no problem following that constructive criticism and doing what you ask because I want to produce the best content for you guys. So if you like the podcast, 5-star reviews, that makes me know that what I'm doing you guys are liking, but also if you want to write a review and constructive criticism, that's not an issue either. I will always take your reviews into consideration. If you're going to review, I highly recommend you do it on Apple Podcasts because I think I can see the reviews there. But if you have any constructive criticism and you can't do it on Apple, you can always send it to one of the contact options I listed. The best one is probably the Instagram at ChiTownHockey.pod or my Blackhawks Instagram at BlackhawksTopic. But yes, any reviews, all of that, that is very much appreciated by you guys, and I will always follow your reviews, your criticism, constructive criticism, and what I'm doing right, I will continue to do. So those reviews and, ratings are always appreciated by me. Blackhawks, by the time you're listening to this, it'll be game day. We're facing off against the Oilers in Game 4 at 5:45 Central Time. Blackhawks lead the series 2-1, hold the Oilers on the brink of elimination with a chance to move on to the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs tonight with a win against the Oilers. But thank you for listening to this podcast, and make sure to have a great rest of your Friday. And I will see you in the next one, hopefully with a Blackhawks win. I'll see you next time.